Pushed the wrong one, it went right back off again.
I'm reminded again this morning how God prepares the way for us when we're preaching. I couldn't have handpicked, if I'd have tried to prepare something ahead of time for what God is doing here this morning with Jamie's song and just the songs we sang this morning. You'll notice in your bulletins I didn't have a title again this week by Thursday, so it didn't get printed. But the title that I've chosen this morning is Life in His Presence, and the song How Great Thou Art. It was beautiful to start into what the Lord has given me to share with the body this morning. But you can live as close to the Father as you choose. He doesn't set up any barriers between us, and He doesn't tear down any barriers that we set up. Saying that so that you know you can live as close to the Father as you want to. He's not going to force you to spend time with Him. He wants you to choose that. He wants you to choose to spend time with Him. And as the last while, our Sunday school has been just really good as far as what we need to do in the body of Christ to learn to live together, to love together, and share together. Patsy, I'm going to need that little book that I left laying there too. I better have that for it. It's part of my sermon today. This is just a little book that I use for my daily devotions. And it's actually one of the best ones that I've ever had. It's by Sarah Young, called Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. And so every morning it allows me to be aware of His presence, to be aware of His presence. And we've discovered in Sunday school, as we've shared together there, that everything that we do in our lives is worship to the Father. Whether we're working, whether we're sharing time with our family around a meal, no matter what we're doing, the Father is there with us. So I want you to be aware this morning how much time that you can spend with the Father every day. We're going to look at scriptures that show us that. And so before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning for Your presence. I thank You, Lord, that we can walk in Your presence, that we can share life with You. And Lord, that You're there to share life with us if we'll just remove the walls, remove the barriers that we've set up to keep You away. Father, allow me to speak only what You want me to say this morning. Don't let us get in the way, but Father, have Your way. Speak through me. Lord, let us have ears to hear what You're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a while since I've been up here. I don't know if any of you pay any attention to that, but it's been at least 2 months, I guess, since I've been here. I've done a couple get-in messages since then, and we had Kim here. And I was sick the one morning I was supposed to preach, so there's just stuff like that that's going on, and Matt McLaughlin took care of that for me. I'm just going to read a little paragraph out of my In His Presence book here. It says, people tend to think their circumstances determine the quality of their lives. So they pour their energy into trying to control those situations. They feel happy when things are going well, and sad or frustrated when things don't turn out as they'd hoped. They rarely question this correlation between their circumstances and feelings. Yet, according to Philippians 4:12, and you can go ahead and be turning to Philippians, we're going to start there today. It is possible to be content in any and every situation. I've been reading that verse for a lot of years and wondering, how in the world can you be content in every situation? That's what Paul says there in Philippians 4:12. Actually, I guess I better get turned to there as well. But Paul, as you remember Paul's life, he had a lot of ups and downs. He had a lot of good days, a lot of bad days. He spent a lot of time in prison. And that's probably something that, I don't know if any of us in here spend any time in prison or not. I haven't. I don't ever want to. And yet, there in verse 12, he says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And that's one of the promises of God that I want you to write down today. We're going to be looking at four of God's promises today for our lives. But let's begin today in verse 4 of chapter 4 of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. All right. So I don't know. Jesse and I have little things that come up during the day that require the Lord's attention. Maybe you don't have those things in your lives, but sometimes we need an extra hand. There's only two of us, so sometimes we just need an extra hand. This week, I forget what I was working on. I dropped something, and I had to have it. It was something that was, I forget what I was doing. Maybe it was a screw or something. I dropped it. I had to have it to fix what I was working on, and so I was up on a ladder. I didn't have any idea where the thing dropped and went to, so I said, Lord, I need to find this so that I can go on with my work. You know, sometimes you're looking for something. It may take a half an hour to find what you're looking for, but you know it's there, so you keep looking until you find it. Kind of like the lost son. But anyway, so I just looked down, and there it was. He showed it to me right away. And I hear Jesse having those conversations with the Father, too, as we work. Because there's a lot of things that, let's face it, we need help with every day in the things that we're doing. But I'm thankful that I've learned that He's there to help me all the time. Not just in the morning when I'm there in His presence, starting out my day in the Word and sharing time with Him, but He's there with me all day. And I can go to Him any time during the day, and He's there to answer questions or just lend a helping hand. And then it goes on in verse 7, and it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you don't have that verse underlined or memorized, make sure that you do that. This is a verse that I've been, I think it was a day of prayer, really gave me a thing to pray for each day of the week, to pray for our country, for our church, for our families, and so forth. And this verse is in the one where I pray for the media every week. So if you think about the media and the things that they're spewing, that's why I pray for them to think about these things in the media. Think about what's noble and what's true and what's right, what's pure, what's lovely and what's admirable. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And then here in Philippians, I'd like to finish up with verse 19. It's another one of the promises that I talked to you about. It says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Another verse that you've heard often. Many of you use it to depend on God, because it's His promise. It says He will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches. And He has all the riches. He owns it all. So there isn't anything that you need that He doesn't have. What a mighty God we have. What a great God we serve. I want to go back to Genesis now. To chapter 28. This is the account of Jacob when he's going from Beersheba to Haran, I believe it is. The Stairway to Heaven. Most of you remember the story, and you've read it often. You've heard it often. I know I've had it in my messages before, but it just fit so well here today again. In verse 10 of Genesis 28, and I'm going to read down through 17. Jacob left Beersheba, set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and laid down to sleep. So, he wasn't even at his house. He wasn't in his tent, but he was on a journey. He was walking. It's hard to visualize not having any transportation, isn't it? Imagine if we had to walk to work every day, carry our tools as we went. But he was going on a journey. He was actually going to Haran to get a wife. But he was on his way there, and he just stopped for the night to rest, to sleep. And who do you suppose showed up? God did. He had had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. I always love accounts of angels, because I know that each of us has ministering angels, because the Word says that we do. He sends ministering angels to help us, to do things for us, to remind us of things that we need to do. But they were, the angels were going up and down on this stairway. And there above it, or at the top of it, stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And verse 15 is another one that you need to underline. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So in the times when you feel like God has left, it's not Him that has moved. And that's why I said at the beginning, if we have walls that we've built up and not allow God to get too close, we only want to be so close to Him. So if we've built walls up, barriers up between us and Him that He can't get too close, it's time to take the walls down to allow Him as close as He can be in your lives. But He said right there in that verse that He won't leave you. He said, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. At the end of the chapter there in verse 20, it says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that He gave me, I will give Him a tenth. This is one of the verses where the tithe comes from. If you have not learned the value of tithing yet, I'm not going to preach on tithing today, but I would just suggest that if you have not done that and learned the value of it, just to try it for 1 month in your life and see what a difference it makes. It is so, so much easier to live on the 90% after you give God the 10 than it is to live on 100%. I can guarantee it. Our lives have never been the same since we began to tithe and to do what God asks us to do. The government gets their percentage off of our growth, so why not God? That's the way Patsy and I have always looked at it. We've always done that. And God has blessed us. We have walked in His blessings. Our children have. And now our grandchildren are walking in it. So that's one of God's promises. It's one of His principles. And it totally works. They're just, like I said, the arithmetic doesn't really work out all the time, but the blessings do. So if you'll try it for a month, I guarantee that you'll never go back to not giving God His tenth. You just won't do it, because it's so much easier to live on the 90% than it is on 100%. Let's go to Romans. A couple verses there in Romans that I want to share with you this morning before we're done. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. Verse 8. Verse 37, I was just going to do 38 and 39, and I happened to look up above it. I had to give it, I had to add this one too. So it says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, the only thing that can separate us is a barrier that we put up. And I've already told you that God won't put up any barriers between us. And he won't tear down any that we've put up. So if you've put up barriers between you and God just because you want to keep a little distance, why? Think about taking them down. Just let him get as close as he wants to you. Because he wants to spend every hour with you during the day, all of the time that's there. In Matthew 28, verse 20, you all know the Great Commission, how it tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. The last verse there in Matthew 28 says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So he's always with us. He's always there. It's a fact. So as you come to a time in your life, and you'll come to him, because I have in mine as well, where you feel distant from God, where you feel like you can't, or you feel like he's not hearing you. You feel like he doesn't hear what you're saying anymore. He still does. Just know that surely he's with you always to the very end of the age. Put more energy into trusting me, he says, and enjoying my presence. Don't let your well-being depend on your circumstances. Instead, connect your joy to my promises. In Genesis 28:18, it says, I am with you, watch over you wherever you go. Philippians 4:12 said, yet as it is possible to be content in any and every situation. Philippians 4:19 says, I will meet your needs according to my glorious riches. And then Romans 8:38 and 39 says, nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from my love. So this week, as you share life with the Father, or even today, if you feel like you've built barriers, you put up walls that you'd like to see torn down today, why, as we pray together, give them to the Father. If you'd like us to pray with you, we'll be here to pray with you this morning. The girls will come, sing another song. But just know that you can be as close to the Father as you want to be. As close as you desire. And he wants to be part of your life every day. Every hour of every day. Every minute of every day. And you can be the one to make that happen. That's all I have for today. I guess Jamie went to get the rest of the praise team. Anybody have a testimony this morning while we're waiting for them to get back? What has God been doing in your lives? It's good to have new faces with us. Make sure that you greet the ones that you don't know. This is Michael. What's your name? Addie. here in the back. See a young man over here that I don't know. What's your name, sir?
Kenny.
Good to have you here with us again. I know I've seen your face before.
Yeah.
Good to have you. Just make them feel welcome. Come on up, girls. I'm just killing time to get here.